Let's turn tonight, please, in our Bibles to the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. We're breaking into the chapter at verse number 20. Isaiah 45, verse number 20. Let's hear the word of God. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Ye let them take counsel together. Who have declared this from ancient time? Who have told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word to every heart. It is that 22nd verse that I want to leave before you tonight. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Amen. With our Bibles open, we'll just unite our hearts in prayer. And again, every believer, we all know what we do at this moment. We seek the Lord together and we lift our hearts to him. Pray for those in the meeting without Christ. Let us all just unite our hearts now together in prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the quietness and the stillness of this evening gospel meeting, we just draw near again to thine eternal throne, where angels cover their faces and bow their heads and cry, Holy, 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 the Lord God of hosts. And O God, we come to thee and we bow before thine omnipotent throne. We realize that all things are naked and open before the one with whom we all have to do. We realize, O God, that there's not a heart that's hidden from thee in this meeting. There's not a circumstance in any life here that is not known by thee. There's not a sin that has been committed that isn't written down in the annals in heaven. O God, we cry to thee, have mercy on us tonight. Close us in with thee. We realize what a solemn thing it is to open the book of God and hear a word from the Lord. We realize that we're before thee. And therefore, O God, we just cry to thee, remember us now. In mercy, draw near. In grace, reach many a heart. Bring souls to faith in Christ. Bring souls from the slavery of sin and darkness. O God, hear prayer. The preacher can't do it. God must do it. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in this gathering. I confess before thine eternal throne my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in the meeting. Empty me now of myself and sin. Wash me completely in the blood of Christ. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. O God, grant that divine anointing. O God, grant that holy baptism. And grant it to us now, we pray. And glorify your Son in this meeting. Hear prayer. Abide with us. Let the blood prevail. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah, the prophet, has been referred to by many as the evangelical prophet. He was reckoned by many also to be one of the greatest ever prophets in Israel. Isaiah himself was a prophet who reigned in the times of Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, and Uzziah. He prophesied through four reigns. Four kings were on the throne at that time: Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, and Uzziah. Now, the book itself of Isaiah is 66 chapters. The first 39 chapters are about the sin of Judah and the surrounding nations and how God will deal with it. The next 27 are chapters that are full of message of grace and gospel language. In the book of Isaiah, there are more testimonies and quotations in the New Testament from this prophecy than from any other Old Testament book. Its most well-known chapter, of course, would be that famous chapter of the 53rd, which speaks of the sufferings of the Messiah, who would come and die for his people's sins, being wounded for their transgressions, being bruised for their iniquities, the chastisement of our peace being upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This prophecy, it was penned some 700 years before the actual crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and therefore it was penned 2,700 years before this meeting tonight. But in taking this 45th chapter and this 22nd verse to be our text, where God says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else," I want to speak for the time that remains on a message from God to the people of earth, because that's who it's addressing. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth." But a message from God also to every sinner in this meeting. Without Jesus Christ, you're an inhabitant of earth. I'm preaching to you tonight on a text which is 2,700 years old. It's a message that was relevant then. It's relevant tonight. God says to you, as he says to every generation, "Look unto me. Be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." I am God, and there is none else. The first thing I want to show you from the text, verse number 22, is the sinners, the people in view who need to be saved. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." In those words, "all the ends of the earth," we see declared so clearly through the prophecy, through the prophet Isaiah here, the universal nature of sin. There once was a great Scottish missionary. His name was William Chalmer Burns. He preached in St. Peter's Dundee whenever Robert Murray McShane went to the Holy Land and there to do evangelism. But while he was away, the Reverend Chalmer Burns preached in his church there in St. Peter's up Perth Road in Dundee. But Chalmer Burns said this: he longed to go once around the world and preach a gospel invitation in the ear of every sinner. Because Chalmer Burns recognized, as we all do, that sin is universal. Where you have a sinner, they need to hear the gospel. Where you have a land with people on it, there is need for Christ to be preached in that land. And therefore, Dr. Burns said this: "I long to go once round the world and preach a gospel invitation in the ear of every sinner." He recognized, as this verse lays before us, the universal nature of sin. Wherever the human heart is, there's sin. Wherever the human is, there's sin, and there's need for a Savior. And those in this meeting tonight, you need to understand that too. You have a great need tonight. You've come in these doors. I'm not saying you don't have need in your personal lives. I don't know anything about them. But you have a massive need. A need that outweighs every other need in your heart. You have a heart that is at enmity with God. You have a life that you're living that is cut off from God. You desperately need Jesus Christ. "Look unto me," God says. "Be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none other." It's the same in this meeting. I already said that. You sit here tonight before the Lord. There's not a heart here without sin. There's not a sinner in this meeting that needs to be saved from sin. Sin's universal. It's everywhere in this fallen world. Sin that flows from the heart. Sin in the life, the outworking of what's already in the heart. Sin that's a breaking of the holy law of God. Sin against God. Sin against man. Sin against an infinite Redeemer. Sin against the Trinity. Sin that is an act of arrogant uprising against God Almighty. That's what sin is. I emphasize that every time I preach. Sin is the most awful thing that has ever happened in our world. Sin. It's all against God. It's all outworked in the life of the sinner. Never repent of it. It all ends up at the judgment seat of Christ and the fires of eternal hell. Sin is awful. Sin is an attack upon the Most High God. It's an act of horrible uprising, of rebellion in the heart that says what was said 2,000 years ago about Jesus Christ, I will not have this man to rule over me. Now, you may protest at that statement, but every time you walk out of a gospel meeting and the claims of Christ and of truth are applied to your soul, and in those moments, maybe near the end of the meeting, as a decision has to be made, and the heart beats fast, will I come to Christ? Will I not come to Him? And every time you go out those doors without Jesus Christ, from your heart arises the same answer as arose there in the judgment hall in Jerusalem. Away with them. I won't have them. Sinner friend, I want you to understand something. Every night that happens, God records your answer. God records your answer. You're a member of a fallen race, living in a fallen world, moment from eternity, a tick of a clock from perishing, breath from losing your soul, which God gave you. And God says to you again tonight, look unto me and be ye saved. You're in your sin. Sin, that's an outworking of that which is in the heart. Let's get it clear. That's where it's at. It's an ugly thing. Surfaces itself at times. Judas hated Jesus Christ in his heart before he betrayed him. The act of betrayal was only the outworking of how Judas felt about Jesus Christ in his heart. It's only a revelation to the world that that man that for 3 years followed Christ, supposedly hated them. It's only a revelation. Before Cain murdered Abel, he hated him in his heart. The murder was only the outworking of what was in the heart. Before Bathsheba was in David's home, Bathsheba was in David's heart. Before the awful act of sodomy took place, the sodomite
was perverted in his heart. Before the thief reached for the money that didn't belong to him, he longed to have it in his heart. That's all sin is out in your life. The outworking is only a revelation of what has already and what is taking place in your heart. That's what your lifestyle is. It's a revelation of what's in there. That's what it is. Because that's what God says it is. It's a revelation to all around you that the heart's unregenerate, that you're in your sin. Look unto me, to such God says, and be ye saved. The act of sin is the outworking of inner corruption. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Say that, speaking of this universal nature, let me tell you another reason people need to look. Because this world and all the ends of it are deceived by the devil. Turn to Revelation chapter 12, please. If you haven't a Bible, don't worry about it. I'll read it. But if you have, you want to turn. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And there we read, and the great dragon was cast out. Revelation 12, verse 9. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. The word deceiveth there, it means to lead astray. Dear unsaved, get this clear. This world is under the deception of the devil. That's what the Bible makes clear. The whole world needs to look to Christ because the devil is abroad in this earth, deceiving men, deceiving men's hearts, deceiving nations. We hear all this talk today of an Islamic nation. What is it? It's a deception of the devil upon the people. That's what it is. What is it when you go to an Arab country or when you go to any other country, communism, Roman Catholic country? What is it? Revelation 12, 9 makes it clear. The devil's busy. He's spread abroad, and yet God comes to the inhabitants of earth, no matter who they are, and says, look unto me and be saved. Look unto me and be saved. All ye ends of the earth, for I am God. And there is none other. Dear unsaved, do not allow the devil to deceive you into thinking you are in control of your life. You're not. There is nothing that you have less control over than your life. Nothing. It will end at a moment appointed by God. You have no control over the end of it. You have no control when it will end. Absolutely none. You're not in control of it. The moment when your life will end and you will leave the world as you now know it and go into God's eternity, you have no say in it whatsoever. You're not in control of this. Oh, the devil would love you to think you're in complete control of it. But you're going to find out if you go down that road, you're not in control at it. And it will end at a moment when God says it will end. And I have said this before, and I am going to repeat it. It is not the sinner's duty to speculate or try and work out when they're going to meet God Almighty through death. It is their duty to prepare to meet God Almighty when God brings their life on earth to an end. That's the duty required of you. Not to try and work out how long you've left. And may I say the best way to live it is live your life as if you have a moment left. And then prepare to die in that moment and you'll be ready when it comes. You're not in control of it. There is nothing you have less control over than your death. Its timing is in the hands of God. It's going to take place once. It'll take place with you as an individual. And when God says it will happen, it will happen. It will happen. And to such people, mortals, God says, look unto me and be ye saved. The sinner's deception. Secondly, go back to Isaiah 45, please. In the day that Isaiah lived, there was a great deception abroad. A great deception in the land in those days. In Isaiah's day. Remember when this was written? 2,700 years ago in Israel. Let's see what it was. Verse number 20. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Here were a people who were caught up in the awful sin of idolatry. Idolatry is the devil's counterfeit of true worship. God says to them, putting up their images, praying to them, God says they can't save. Let me say this. And because we're in Ballymena, we'll just use Ballymena as an example. Across Ballymena today, the idols were set up. The idols were prayed to. The idols were bowed to. Sincerely. By a people longing to have peace with God. And God says, it didn't happen. The idol can't save. It was the awful deception that was abroad in Isaiah's day, and it's abroad today, dear people, and you need to understand that. Idolatry is satanic worship. That's who receives the worship in idolatry. That's who receives it. And the Lord's telling them here in verse 22 in our text, when he said, look unto me and be ye saved, he's telling them all along they've been looking in the wrong place for salvation. Now maybe you say, preacher, that has absolutely nothing to do with me. I'm Protestant. I don't bow to idols. That may be true. You may have idols in your heart, but it may be true. You may never bow to a literal statue in your life and still be looking in the wrong place for salvation. Because that's what the Lord was telling them. You're looking in the wrong place. What are you depending on? What are you depending on for salvation? You tell me that I'm not depending on an idol. What's your hope for heaven? Believing as I do that most here want to go there. What's your hope? I go to the free. It's no hope. It's no hope. Do my best. No hope. God Almighty says to you tonight with a text penned 2,700 years ago, look unto me and be saved. And he was addressing a people who were looking in the wrong place for salvation. Because the deception of the devil in idolatry is as old as sin itself. Because that's what the devil always wanted. Worship. and when men bow to their idols, unknowing to them, the devil receives the worship. Look unto me, and be ye saved. The sinner's invitation, thirdly, look unto me. It's the look of faith. What the Lord's saying is, you need to look in the right place. And after telling them where not to look, he says, here's where you do look. Look unto me, to Christ. For the remedy for sin, for the forgiveness of that sin, for peace with God, it's the call of God to the sinner. Look, it's the gracious call, because God's offended by your sin. It's an urgent call, because you may never be able to look again after this moment. God says, look. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth. Let me ask you again, unsaved friend. Have you looked to Christ? This call of heaven to earth. Call of God to the sinner. The Lord says to this moment, you haven't looked to me. You've looked in the wrong place. Sinner, God is here, and you're before him, and so am I. And every preacher feels it. Because I give account for this sermon. I give account for this sermon. But you give account too. You give account of what you do with this sermon. That's why I forget about the preacher. Between you and God. It's between you and God. Look to Christ, sinner. Look unto me. What a word of direction. Sinner, the Lord's addressing you tonight. He's pointing you to his dear son. Look to Christ, be saved. Look to the one who is both God and man. All you haven't done, didn't do, couldn't do, yet needed to do, Christ did. He never sinned. He couldn't sin. In Christ was absolutely no capability of sinning. Then he went to deal with sin at the cross. And there's where you need to look. If you're ever to be in heaven, you need to look away from wherever you've been looking until this moment. Whatever holds you back, you need to get away from it. And I mean that. There's always something that stops the sinner. Always. They weigh it up in their mind. They hear the preacher preach. They don't deny any of the truths. They realize it's right. And they get so far. Then they stop. You know why they stop? Because they have come face to face again with what I have called before the darling sin. You all know what the word darling means. You would say that to somebody if you loved them. You didn't want to part with them. Well, the darling sins the same. It's the darling of your heart. But you're not foolish. Because you know if you come to Christ, it goes. You desperately need to part company with it. Because if you don't, I can assure you on the authority of Holy Writ, forevermore it will not be a darling in your eyes. You will hate it as it clings to you throughout God's everlasting eternity, of the eternal remembrance in your soul, this above all, damn me. Damned me. To such Christ says, look unto me. Now you will know in your heart. You will know in your heart what that darling sin is. You will know what keeps you. You'll know. Without a doubt, you will know. You'll know through that closing prayer as the preacher makes it week after week and the appeal goes out and it comes to that moment when you decide for Christ or you decide against Him, and you will know week by week, you made it! You made it in the pews of the free church! And you couldn't let it go. You met it. Some meet it in the gallery. Some meet it down below, but you meet it every week. And every week, Christ and His cross and His blood and His love are rejected for whatever that is. What before God is it? You know. I don't, obviously. But I know what mine was. And God, I thank God had mercy that I wasn't damned because of it. And you know. And God knows you know. And God knows that's the reason that Jesus Christ in your heart is rejected. The sinner's Savior. Verse 21, look at it with me. Tell ye, bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who have declared this from ancient time? Who have told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there's no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look at the end of verse 22. There is none else. Sinner, you get it? This world has millions of idols. This world has more false religions, and every one of them is a curse on the planet. This world has billions of ways to hell. But one way to heaven. God says it here. Look unto me, be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. It's the exclusiveness of the gospel. One way to heaven. Not a popular statement in our world, but to hell with that. Jesus Christ said there's one way. And he is that way. Look away from everything else, man, woman, young person, tonight in this meeting. There's no other Savior. God just sets it down to you here. There's no other way. This is black and white. Remember whenever Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he met with his disciples and the 11 of them and he commissioned them. He says, go into the world. And there it is again. Go into the world. It was never meant for Israel alone. Go into the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Whosoever believeth, looks to Christ, will be saved. Whosoever believeth not, will be damned. Because there is no other Savior. There is no other Savior. Look to him, sinner. You know why? Another reason. Because if you don't, someday he will look on you. Oh, yes. It's coming. You either look now to be saved, be welcomed into heaven's glory by him, or there's coming a day when he sits in that throne of judgment, he will look on you. Behold him now, because there's coming a day he's going to behold you. And if death has taken you out of Christ, he will behold you as that sinner, as that rebel. There's not a preacher in the world can properly describe the horror of that moment. How could we? When those that in their heart know they rejected Christ for whatever the sin is, and then they meet Christ. Look to him now before he looks on you. For you meet him that day, you won't ever be saved. I said that last week. Now's the time. Is your heart so hard? A hard heart's an awful thing towards the Lord. Remember hearing of a famous actress, and she was. If I named her, you would everyone know her, but I won't name her. But she was in hospital one time, I read this. But God in his mercy has his people everywhere. To the bedside of this famous actress in the United States, drew alongside a Christian nurse. She said to her, "Would you mind if I pray with you?" And the actress scowled and roared, "Don't you dare ask God to have mercy on me." Well, I don't know how she died, but she's long since met God. And I tell you, if she died as she lived, she didn't get any mercy from God. There was somebody who drew alongside, was going to offer prayer for that poor soul. But having the world at her feet, as she thought, and this only a poor nurse. "Don't you dare ask God to have mercy on me." It's time to seek God for mercy. It's time to seek him with all your heart, sinner. What is it? Look to Christ. Look away from everything else. Look alone to the only Savior of Redeemer, the only Savior of sinners, the only one set forth in this book as the Redeemer of men and women, young people like you and I. But he is a Redeemer. He is a Savior. He's the Savior. I tell you, he's a great Savior. He's more gracious than any tongue can tell. He pardons sin. He forgives iniquity. He passes by transgression. And the whole way home to heaven for his people, he remembers we're dust, and he puts up with our shortcomings nonstop. I tell you, there's none like Jesus Christ. None like him. None that saves like him. None that keeps like him. Keep you in time. Keep you in heaven forevermore. But sinner, you must come to him. You must come to him. The sinner's promise, if you come, look unto me and be ye saved. You will be saved. You'll be forgiven all your sin. Look and live. Saved from its penalty. Saved from the power of it. But sinner, the question is this: will you come to him? Will you come to Christ? Child was born in Bangor, County Down, 1876. His parents named him William. Brought up in Albert Street Presbyterian Church in Belfast. Taught faithfully the Word of God. Age of 16, he went to serve king and country. Served well. Sometime after, worked in South Africa, in the railway lines. He returned home. While he'd been away, drink, and while living, got an awful hold on his life. Awful grip on him. Returned home. 23 years old. He sat at his mother's fireside one morning. Conviction of sin reigned so heavy upon his soul. Couldn't go on. There at that fireside, he sought Jesus Christ. The quietness of his own heart. God immediately assured him he'd forgiven him all his sins. And where that terror had flowed while he was under that conviction, great peace swamped his soul. do none deserve a greater king. And he's now in a better country. Went on to be known as the Reverend W.P. Nicholson. Young person in this meeting. Young man in this meeting. Will you have this Christ to be your Christ? God knows what he'll do with you. Older man, older woman. Will you have this Christ to be your Christ? The one presented from Genesis to Revelation, will you have him? You see, we're at that time of the meeting again. And the heart begins to beat faster. When you know it's come to that moment to make a decision. And angels, holy angels, watch on. Devils, watch on. And every devil of the pit longs that you don't come. And every angel of heaven says, come. Spirit hovers over the gathering. And you've come face to face with the darling sin again, without a doubt. And maybe, like Agrippa, you say, preacher, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost isn't enough. Agrippa lost his soul. The Father says, look to my Son and be saved. Because it's not going to happen any other way. Will you come to Christ tonight? Will you say, yes, preacher, this has gone on too long? Remember about 6 months ago, I was sitting up in a flat up in Ballykeel where I live. It was early hours of the morning. We got chatting, me and a person I know. Talking to the person about their need of Christ. You know what he said? I'll just use the words he used. I know, Tom. And I am going to mess about here till I lose my soul. I said, you better not. Don't go there, sinner. Don't carry on like this till you lose your soul. That man recognized it that night in that flat. But what he said was right. If he messed about with that continually, ultimately, he's going to lose it. He knew he needed Christ. Not because I told him, because he was brought up in a church in this town that told him. He would never have denied it. If his friends got saved, he'd have been delighted. If his family got saved, he'd have been delighted for them. I'm going to mess about. I lose my soul. Sinner, it's time to stop. And it's time to embrace Christ. Whatever it is, Christ will help you. But come to Him, be saved. Repent of sin, turn from it. Embrace the only Redeemer. Call upon Him tonight. You have the invitation, yea, the command of heaven. Look unto Me. And be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, and that includes you. For I am God, He said, and there is none else. Will you come to Him? We're here again, aren't we? The same juncture. The same crossroads. Don't make the same decision. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. While every head is bowed and the Lord's people are praying, there are people here and you desperately need Christ. You desperately need the Savior. Come to Him. Lift your heart now to heaven. Say, Lord, save me. This has went on long enough. He'll save you now. Make your way to the minister's room. I'll see you there. You say, preacher, you have an open air. Don't worry about the open air. There are men in Brisbane are well able to preach a sermon. If you need counsel tonight, we go to the minister's room. Will you come to Christ? You say, preacher, my head's every shape here. I fully expect it to be. I would fully expect there to be a battle raging right now. The devil doesn't want to lose you. But I tell you, lose you, he will. Not just tonight, but forever if you come to Christ. Christ will break the power of counsel, sin. He'll set you gloriously free. His blood will wash you in a moment. He'll clothe you with the best robe of heaven, the very righteousness of Christ. If you but come. If you but look to the Savior. Speak to me when you come down to the door. Go to the minister's room. I'll see you there. I meant what I said about that open air. There's other men can preach at that. They'll know what has happened. They'll take over. There's no problem. God's sovereign. Father, paralyze the powers of darkness in these moments. Give deciding grace. Bring souls right through for God. Oh God, glorify your Son. Let all that's been of thee tonight live on in every heart. Let all that's been of me just fall away. Hear prayer. Continue with us in our closing praise. In Jesus' name, amen.